your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by. And feed them on your dream. The one they picked, the one you know by.
Welcome to Teach Your Children Well, Hot Topics in Education, with your hosts Rich Weinfeld and Michelle Davis. This program will give parents and educators the skills and methods to effectively advocate for children today. And now, here's Rich and Michelle.
Hello, I'm Rich Weinfeld, and welcome to Teach Your Children Well, Hot Topics in Education. Today's show is called My Best Teacher Ever Was, and I'd like to start the show by telling you about my best teacher. My best teacher ever was my fourth grade teacher, Mrs. Oliver. I remember her stories of growing up in Kansas and of her family members. I'm sure there were life lessons in those stories, but what I remember is the feeling that I knew her and that she knew me. I cared deeply about what she thought and felt about my performance. I wanted to do my absolute best. One day in class, we were misbehaving, and she told us that she was thinking about leaving teaching to find another job. I felt so bad, I nearly cried. She made the classwork exciting and interesting. She held high expectations for each of us. Nurturing, structured, connected. She inspired me to become an educator. I'd like to tell you a little bit about today's show. Most of us have had the good fortune to be touched at some point in our life by our interactions with an outstanding teacher. What are the characteristics of an outstanding teacher? Is being a skilled teacher an art, or is it a science? In advocating for students, we often hear complaints about teacher qualifications, style, discipline, and skill level, despite teaching's noble intention. As discussed in How to Make Great Teachers, a Time magazine article of February 13, 2008, some teacher preparation programs are making a difference, improving student performance, and reinstating teachers' passion for reaching students' potential. The Milken Family Education Awards and its Teacher Advancement Program have received recognition for their work in identifying and cultivating outstanding teachers. Today, Michelle Davis and I will explore this topic with Todd White, Senior Vice President of Training for the National Institute for Excellence in Teaching and a former winner of the Milken Educator Award. Now I'd like to introduce one of the most outstanding teachers I've had the pleasure to work with, my co-host, Michelle Davis.
Thank you, Rich. And thank you to all of us who are listening to Teach Your Children Well, Hot Topics in Education. We selected this important topic to explore today because it's in line with the vision of our show. This show is dedicated to exploring issues in schools and school systems that can really make a difference between what we are and what we could be as a society. We believe that with high expectations and an education system that works, all children can achieve. If you have children, you're going to learn how to partner with the school to advocate for your child in a powerful and effective way. And if you're an educator listening to our show, we'll hopefully advance your skills and knowledge to affect positive changes in other educators, children, and school communities. Children are our best natural resource, so let's teach them well and create an education system that works to develop a future of leaders who make our world a better place to be. Rich and I have dedicated ourselves to education for our entire lives. Page one of our new book, Special Needs Advocacy Resource Book, What You Can Do Now to Advocate for Your Exceptional Child's Education, speaks to this, and I'd like to read from it and talk a bit about the importance of teacher quality and its effects on student achievement. Children are our greatest natural resource. With nurturing, teaching, guidance, and support, they will grow into productive members of society. Our challenge as parents and educators is to uncover and cultivate each student's gifts while removing the obstacles that may prevent the child from achieving academic success. In the best of all worlds, the homeschool partnership accomplishes this far-reaching goal. The reality is, however, that there are times when children do not receive the appropriate programs and services required for their intellectual, social, and emotional well-being. And, of course, this includes teacher quality and teacher effectiveness. In most studies, teacher quality is the number one factor that affects student achievement. Duke University is cited in April 9th Education Week as completing research that shows students did better academically when teachers were certified, adequately credentialed and when teachers received awards for completing a process of self-evaluation. We're going to hear from our guest how teacher advancement programs, including supervision, rewards, teacher buy-in to the program, and multiple ways of measuring teacher effectiveness made a positive difference in student achievement. In the Time magazine article that Rich mentioned, Claudia Wallace writes how we must address the goal of improving teacher quality in order for school reform to take place.
I'm going to talk a little bit about my background and then ask Michelle to do the same. I started my career in education as an elementary school teacher, which, looking back, was my hardest and, in some ways, my most rewarding job. I then spent 26 years in a variety of special education, teaching, and administrative positions. I worked with Michelle with students who had emotional disabilities. I coordinated a middle school program for students with learning disabilities, also for students with physical challenges and students on the autism spectrum. It was in that middle school program that I was introduced to a wonderful group of students who were both gifted and simultaneously had been identified as having disabilities. Since retiring from the public schools, I've written 4 books regarding helping students reach their potential, taught a course at Johns Hopkins, served on the board of Aegis, a wonderful organization for promoting education for gifted, underachieving students. I direct an educational consulting company called Weinfeld Education Group, which provides advocacy for students, training to staff and parents, and consultation to schools and school systems. Before I ask Michelle to talk a little bit about her background, I wanted to preview some of our coming shows. We're very excited about next week. We have Jonathan Mooney, who's the author of Learning Outside the Lines and also a new book called The Short Bus, A Journey Beyond Normal. And he tells about his own journey from being a sixth grade dropout to being an Ivy League honor student at Brown University. The week after that, we'll have Mary Ruth Coleman, past president of the Council for Exceptional Children, talking about meeting the needs of all children. We're going to have Carol Ann Tomlinson on May 9th, talking about an ideal classroom and other messages for us from her many articles and books, including her book, Teaching for Understanding. We'll have a show dedicated to the use of technology in the classroom, another show dedicated to teaching to the strengths with Joyce Van Tassel-Baska of William & Mary University and Susan Baum, who's done so much work with twice exceptional students. We'll have a show on Standing Up for Your Child, in which author Samantha A. Beale will tell her own story as one of these kids who struggled and how she overcame those obstacles to be a successful author, and her mom will talk about the journey that she had in advocating for Samantha. We'll talk about gender in our schools with David Satker, author of Failing at Fairness, which is one of the seminal books about gender, and also with Dr. Terry New, who is my own co-author on our book, Helping Boys Succeed in School. We'll talk about school success for kids with Asperger's syndrome and other autism-related disorders with Brenda Miles. We'll talk about school choice with Andrew Colson from the Cato Institute and Patty Rabelais from NEA. We'll talk about bullying and discipline, and we'll also have a show dedicated to issues of multicultural education. Michelle?
Rich, that is all so exciting, and we're so excited to present all of those shows in the coming weeks. Again, Friday at noon Eastern Standard Time. And the format of our show is going to be call-in and email. But before I go further in that, I'd like to tell you also a little bit about myself. I started teaching when I myself was a child. I have worked in all kinds of different environments, residential to the regular classroom. And in my public school career, learned so much about meeting students' needs. And now in private practice, I'm the director of ABCs for Life Success. I'm an adjunct professor at George Washington University, and of course I've co-authored the book and journal articles with Rich. You know, my best teacher was Virginia Moore, and that's hard to believe that that was 32 years ago. Virginia Moore, or Ginny for short, was passionate and made me feel like I was the only one in her class. Miss Moore taught me how to crack open a coconut for our Hawaii unit, but what she taught me did not seem as important as how she taught me, how she made me feel comfortable, confident, and important. So when I was presented with a Cocker Spaniel puppy for my birthday at age 8, I, of course, named her Ginny. Ms. Moore, if you are listening, thank you. So we will take callers during our shows. Call in and participate with our discussion. The number for participation is 866-472-5792. Again, 1-866-472-5792. We'll also take emails at specialneedsadvocacy@msn.com. Again, specialneedsadvocacy@msn.com. Call in or email us to participate in our discussion.
And we've been collecting some emails in advance of the show. We asked teachers to have their students write about the topic, My Best Teacher Ever Was. And we're going to read a few of those throughout the show today. And also, we encourage you in the coming weeks, keep sending us those emails from students and from adults about My Best Teacher Ever. Let me read one right now. My Best Teacher Ever Was, Miss Gill. Because I probably would not have been able to read as good as I can without her. She made us word rings, and we practiced them every day. She also greeted us with a warm smile every day. And that's from Rachel in Maryland. I'm going to go ahead and introduce our guest for today, who will join us right after our first break. And as mentioned before, our first guest today is Todd White. Todd is a former middle school teacher, assistant principal, and principal. His school, Mitchell Road Elementary School, was recognized as the Elementary School of the Year in South Carolina. The school won a national PTA award for parent involvement. They raised achievement for all students, including minority students, and they were named a National Blue Ribbon School. Todd White was the winner of the Milken Outstanding Educator Award in 2000. He began working on the Teacher Advancement Program in 2001 with the Milken Family Foundation, and he began that as a state director. He is now Senior Vice President in charge of training for the National Institute for Excellence in Teaching. And we'll bring him on right after our first break. I want to remind callers again to call 1-866-472-5792. We will take some of your questions for Todd or questions for us towards the end of the show. And again, our email is specialneedsadvocacy@msn.com. Right back after the break.
You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a price war among the major term life carriers. Consider these possible rates. A man age 45, non-tobacco user, could obtain $1 million of coverage for as little as $75 a month, and this rate is fixed for the next 10 years. We specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. A man age 50, non-tobacco user, may be able to obtain $500,000 of coverage for as little as $115 per month, and this rate is fixed for the next 20 years. That's right, guaranteed not to change for 20 years. We have great rates for smokers too. For new or replacement term life insurance, call the Term Lifeline now. 800-890-5075. 800-890-5075. That's 800-890-5075.
How can we be powerful advocates for the children in our lives? How do we ensure that they're getting the best education possible? The Special Needs Advocacy Training Institute prepares parents and educators to be outstanding advocates for school success. The Training Institute is based on Rich Weinfeld and Michelle Davis's Special Needs Advocacy Resource Book. The book is comprehensive, practical, and easy to read. Visit SpecialNeedsAdvocacyInstitute.com to learn more about this dynamic training opportunity. Parents, are you concerned with your child's progress at school? Educators, do you wish that you could do more for your class? Are you interested in pursuing a career in educational advocacy? At SpecialNeedsAdvocacyInstitute.com, you'll learn how to make a difference in the lives of children. You will also find information about Rich and Michelle's consulting and advocacy services. Our children need powerful advocates to ensure that they're getting an appropriate education. Visit SpecialNeedsAdvocacyInstitute.com to learn what you can do to more effectively advocate for the children in your life.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Teach your children well.
You're listening to Teach Your Children Well, Hot Topics in Education with hosts Rich Weinfeld and Michelle Davis. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or tip regarding today's topic, give us a call toll-free at 866-472-5792. That number again is 866-472-5792. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're honored and excited to have Todd White with us today, and we'd like to, first of all, thank you, Todd, for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
And I'll jump right in. What would you say are the factors that make someone a great teacher?
Well, Rich, you and Michelle and Rachel and her response actually are going to make this a very easy answer, and it's something I find as I talk to anybody around the country when they tell the story of the teacher who made the difference in their lives. You hear a couple of things. You hear about the way that teacher made that student feel. So you get a lot of that affective kinds of things. These are people who love children, who believe in children, who understand sort of those factors and the characteristics of how to create an environment that is child-friendly. And then they couple that with their knowledge of instruction. Rachel talked about the teacher who helped her to read better. Michelle, you talked about the coconut kind of deal. But invariably, you'll also hear in those answers a knowledge of what they're teaching. So they're taking those affective types of skills and marrying that with different ways of presenting new learning for kids. The cracking open a coconut really says a lot, Michelle, about your teacher and how she used curiosity and suspense to really engage you in the process of learning. So it's really putting those two things together.
Just to kind of underline that, when the two things are, it sounds like good instruction and also a connection with. Do you agree with that summary, or would you phrase it differently?
Oh, absolutely. What does not make a good teacher is just someone who solely has one or the other of those two. So someone who, there are lots and lots and lots of people who love children, but that doesn't mean that they're good at teaching them things. And so I'm sorry, Michelle.
Oh, I'm sorry. Todd, we've heard so many people say she was born to be a teacher. Can good teaching be taught, or is it inborn? In other words, is teaching an art or a science?
I think it's both. That there are some of those fundamental characteristics that are the art. Some of those factors with the affective. Someone who believes in children and really comes in with the expectation and the lack of a bias in that they do believe that all kids can learn. Those kinds of things are, I think, more of the inborn types of things. The energy, the enthusiasm, the passion that a teacher brings to the subject, those are all parts of the craft that's the art. But you do have to marry that with the science of teaching. There has to be a clearly thought out plan for what you want students to learn, and how you're going to get them there. Chances are, Michelle, I keep going back to this, your teacher, Jenny, brought in a coconut. Well, unless you live somewhere where those are natural, it's probably not going to be a natural part of the classroom. So your teacher had clearly planned for how she was going to engage students in the learning, and she had a process for that. She probably questioned effectively around what she was trying to get you to learn. So there are parts of the science that research is coming out more and more clearly on that do impact how much students learn. So there, it's a blend of both the art and the science of teaching.
You know, clearly a lot of teacher preparation programs and ongoing teacher in service deal with the science part, but do you think people who don't come in with, I'll call it the heart, with, you know, the love of kids, the high expectations, the belief in kids, can that part be taught?
I worked with a teacher one time who said that all students are gifted, They just open their gifts at different times. Mm-hmm. And I think some students have gotten to the age of adulthood and gone into teaching. And so if that is present in their makeup and just hasn't been opened yet, then I would say yes. That those kinds of things you can help them uncover. But I mean, I know adults who simply do not like children, and mm-hmm. Not necessarily teachers, but just adults. And I don't think that there's going to be a lot that you could do to teach someone that. I think it's just part of their makeup. Mm-hmm. I think when you look at something that is so important in education, such as teacher patience with a kid, it's hard to teach someone patience. It's a characteristic, it's a trait, a personality trait.
Mm-hmm. Todd, tell us about the Talent Advancement Program and how it helps us identify and develop great teachers.
Well, the Teacher Advancement Program is actually an initiative of the Milken Family Foundation. And the Milken Family Foundation has been in the process of both medical and educational research for approximately the last 30 years. And in researching different things in education, such as early childhood programs, looking at reading programs, technology, what we kept coming back to again and again was more important than the program was the quality of the teacher delivering it. And so that led us to the Teacher Advancement Program. And so we started talking with teachers around the country to try to uncover what it is, you know, that they feel is important and would help advance the program, and also to marry that with some of the ideas of our foundation's president, Lowell Milken, founder and president. And what we have in there is a system now of offering teachers multiple career paths. So in most schools now, if for a teacher to advance, they would go back and get an advanced degree or something. But a lot of teachers walk into the classroom on day one and basically have the same job when they leave a retirement. What we've tried to do is with the multiple career paths is expand those options for teachers. So we have different levels of teachers that have also different responsibilities. We have a mentor level and a master teacher level. Our master teachers still teach part of every day, but we also, in as a part of those responsibilities, they're doing a lot of professional development for teachers in their own school, and then coaching, modeling, and mentoring. That's one aspect of our program. The next part is a market-driven compensation. We believe, for example, for that master teacher taking on added roles, there should be additional compensation for that. We also have a strong performance appraisal system where we do look at some of the science and the art of teaching and how well teachers are carrying that out in the classroom. Those multiple measures or those multiple observations are carried out by a team of people who then use that to support teachers in their growth. One of the things that we found as we worked on the focus groups was that teachers talked about the need to engage with another professional in professional dialogue about their craft. A lot of times teaching is a very isolated kind of profession. And so what we've done is we've tied those things together with strong professional development for teachers that takes place during the school day in that school based on the needs of their kids and the needs of the teachers. And that happens in small groups, again, led by people within that building, the master and mentor teachers. So that's basically, you know, in a nutshell, what the Teacher Advancement Program is. It's a four-pronged kind of system that all works together and is interwoven to really change the culture of how professional development and support of teachers occurs in the school.
It, you know, Todd, that leads me right to my next question. In the Time Magazine article that we keep referencing that highlights the TAP program, there was a certain middle school that had adopted TAP, and it doubled its percentage of students scoring an advanced level and reduced the percentage of students scoring below basic. It reduced teacher turnover, and it really impacted positively student performance. So what objective measures are used to determine whether someone's a good teacher, whether it's successful teaching in the classroom or whether it's test scores from high-stakes testing?
Well, again, what you want is a balanced approach. You want multiple measures coming in to paint a full picture of that teacher's performance in the classroom and the impact of that on students. You also want multiple perspectives on that performance. So one of the things you have to do is you have to spend time with that teacher in the classroom. That's where it occurs. And so with our observation system, what we have is each teacher has a team of at least three different observers, an administrator, a mentor teacher, and a master teacher, who are all working with that teacher and spending time in that classroom. So within the classroom, you're looking at how they create that environment, how they create with the children in that classroom a respectful culture, their expectations. But then you're also looking at some of the science types of things, like is there a clear learning objective? Is the teacher modeling for students what those performance expectations are? Are they questioning kids in a way that is going to move kids towards a greater and more in-depth understanding? So it's multiple measures. We say that formally that should happen 4 to 6 times over the course of the year with that team going in, and informally it should happen every week.
Teachers, Todd, I'm going to I know that some of the criticism of merit pay programs have come because some merit pay has been tied just to test scores.
Right.
I think there's also resistance from people who've been in the school system a long time and don't think it's fair because they've earned a certain pay rate based on seniority. How do you deal with those kinds of issues?
Well, there are always test scores have to be another measure of looking at this, but it can't be the sole measure. And I think that some programs have made some mistakes in the past by focusing just solely on that. The other thing that I think that you have to look at is a growth measure with those standardized tests. Teachers are skeptics about what they can show in terms of the total growth of a kid. And so we have to look at those measures also.
Okay, we're going to continue with this discussion after break. If you have questions for Todd White, I encourage you to call in at 1-866-472-5792. We'll get to as many callers as possible. We'll be back again with Todd White right after break.
Your life, your health, your network. Voice America Health and Wellness.
How can we be powerful advocates for the children in our lives? How do we ensure that they're getting the best education possible? The Special Needs Advocacy Training Institute prepares parents and educators to be outstanding advocates for school success. The Training Institute is based on Rich Weinfeld and Michelle Davis's Special Needs Advocacy Resource Book. The book is comprehensive, practical, and easy to read. Visit SpecialNeedsAdvocacyInstitute.com to learn more about this dynamic training opportunity. Parents, are you concerned with your child's progress at school? Educators, do you wish that you could do more for your class? Are you interested in pursuing a career in educational advocacy? At SpecialNeedsAdvocacyInstitute.com, you'll learn how to make a difference in the lives of children. You will also find information about Rich and Michelle's consulting and advocacy services. Our children need powerful advocates to ensure that they're getting an appropriate education. Visit SpecialNeedsAdvocacyInstitute.com to learn what you can do to more effectively advocate for the children in your life.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough.
Did you know your child's asthma attacks can be triggered by things like shower curtains, a blanket, even a teddy bear?
I feel like I'm choking.
And there are many other things in your home and your child's classroom you may not know about. For the latest information, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Help prevent your child's asthma attacks and avoid the emergency room. Call toll-free 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Or visit www.noattacks.org.
I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Teach your children well.
You're listening to Teach Your Children Well, Hot Topics in Education with hosts Rich Weinfeld and Michelle Davis. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or tip regarding today's topic, give us a call toll-free at 866-472-5792. That number again is 866-472-5792. Now, back to the program.
We're here. This is Michelle Davis with Rich Weinfeld, my co-host. We're here with Todd White. But before we get to Todd and some additional questions for him, we're going to take a caller, and we're going to see what our caller has to say.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to our show, Teach Your Children Well. This is Michelle.
Hello. Hi. How y'all doing?
We're wonderful. Do you have a question or comment for either our guest or ourselves?
Yeah, I just want to say this is a great show. I'm glad you have it on Voice America. I'd like to talk about my favorite teacher.
We'd love that.
Yes, my favorite teacher was my sixth grade teacher, Mr. Arthur Beagle, and he was my first male teacher ever. And I really felt like I could identify with him. And he was just a great teacher because he allowed me to express myself. I was a student with, I guess you could say, special needs, and he knew about this. And he actually would take me one-on-one a lot of times and work with me. As a matter of fact, it was during that time in elementary school, when sixth grade was in elementary school, it was probably my peak time in my whole educational career at that time. But what I really appreciated again about him was he allowed me to express myself. He allowed me to write. I always liked to write, and he always let me write whatever I wanted to do. He actually read them. And I was allowed to read my stories to him, and he inspired me so much that when I graduated from high school, I went on to college, and I became a teacher. And I used to take some of the same methods that he used to teach us and I for my students. And when I was working on my doctorate degree, I used to go back and keep him up to date with my life and what I was doing. But what I really appreciated was when I first went back to him, I wasn't sure if he was even going to remember me. He knew me right away. He knew my name. He knew my family, asked how everything was. So I just want to let you know that Mr. Beagle was a big inspiration for me and guidance for me that got me through my whole career in education. I always thought back at him, and even my students, I used to tell them stories about being in Mr. Beagle's class.
You know, Steve, what you're talking about is exactly in line with what we're finding out from our guest and what we know about excellent teachers is they make a powerful difference for the rest of our lives. We so appreciate you calling in. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, I want to go ahead and continue with another question for our guest, Todd White. Todd, you were one of the Milken Outstanding Educators of the Year in 2000. Can you tell us a little bit about that program and what that process was like for you?
Well, one of the foundation's principles, our founding principles, really, is around also teacher recognition. And one of our programs is the National Milken Educator Awards. And what we do is seek out and find outstanding educators, and then really show up unannounced and present them with an award. Now, the award, in addition to a $25,000 check, which is a huge deal, also involves bringing them to an award ceremony. The entire process, Ed Week has described as the Oscars of teaching. it is, and it goes back to our founders, beliefs in teachers. Lowell Milken really believes in the power of the educator in the classroom and how they can change lives. And so what he's trying to do is with this award is to elevate the profession of teaching to what we hear in so many different award shows, like the Oscars and, you know, the different award shows that you have for music and the Grammys and so on and so forth. So it's a surprise to the recipients always. That's a big part of it. But it's really based on excellence in education and also the potential for leadership in education, no matter what your role is, as a teacher, principal, or whatever. Do you have really the potential to help shape the future of education in this country?
Can you tell us your own experience when you heard you got the award? Were you surprised? What did it mean for you?
Surprised is not the word. It is every time I think about that day, it sort of brings tears back to your eyes. You are so overwhelmed and so humbled by the experience. Almost invariably, every Milk and Educator that I talk to, they have this sense of, you know, sort of I'm not worthy kind of thing, and I think it casts some doubts on yourself because you're doing what you love, and it's getting results. And then for someone to recognize it in such a high-profile way is just so outside of the norm of education. It shouldn't be, but it really is outside of what most teachers, as they go through their career, have the opportunity to really experience.
You know, Todd, it seems like self-evaluation and reward are two important factors in teacher advancement programs. What do teachers learn about themselves through the self-evaluation process? What kinds of personal insights did you or might teachers develop as a result of the award process?
Well, it does turn the lens on you, both the awards and in the teacher advancement program. It is about accurate self-reflection. What you begin to identify and isolate are those practices that really are making a difference so that you can build on those and use those talents and skills to help you in other areas of your practice. But not only you, it's also helping those people around you so that you can create a real sense of teamwork. Every teacher has a talent that others can learn from. And so making sure that, like in the Teacher Advancement Program, that we create structures and systems where those talents can be multiplied across multiple teachers and you create a network of support where we really aren't afraid to analyze our practice. We're not trying to hide that from one another, but really put it out there, be open, honest, trust one another, and learn from that in order to make things better for students.
Todd, what factors, you've talked about this award and its meaning for you. You talked about the Teacher Advancement Program, which please clarify for me, does that include merit pay or not? But when you answer that, what are the incentives that teachers need to really strive for excellence in the classroom?
Well, there are a lot of teachers out there who really are offended by the notion of a merit pay or pay for performance, and they're offended by the notion that they're somehow holding back on kids because they're not being paid, or getting a bonus. And I understand that. We take sort of a different approach with this. We're not merit pay in the traditional sense. We think of the pay for performance really as a bonus system. We do believe that the very best teachers who are getting outstanding results and creating places that kids crave to be and every parent wants their child, those teachers are not paid enough, and it really, as a country, there's no way we could pay them what they're worth. But what we do think is that those people who are getting those results should be compensated in some form. And so looking at the multiple measures of their gains they're getting with kids and their performance in the classroom, we really have set up a system that is a bonus-type structure for teachers within the school. Now, critics also will say, well, you know, that completely destroys the collaboration, teamwork, morale in the school. In the Teacher Advancement Program, the reason it doesn't is that's not our focus. It is, we are a professional development system and a teacher support system that has an element of this bonus pay to it. But the system and the structures that are put in place are so supportive, and everyone is focused on how do we work together to improve the performance of everybody for all of our students, that the bonus pay at the end of the year is just sort of a nice pat on the back. And really what a lot of teachers see it as and what they report in the teacher advancement program is it's a thank you. It is that pat on the back, and you know you're doing a good job, and we appreciate it, and you're appreciated for what you're doing. We also see as every year we anonymously survey all of our teachers, and what we have seen is in our schools the morale, collegiality, as reported by teachers, goes up, and that is really surrounding the professional development and that support that every teacher in this country deserves.
Todd, how widespread is the teacher advancement program, and have you had cooperation from teacher unions? Can you just talk a little bit about that?
Well, for the coming year, we'll be in about 250 schools in 17 or 18 states in the District of Columbia. The teachers' unions in the places that we've worked have been cooperative, but what's happened is we are a very transparent program. We believe in transparency in the school with things that are going on. We don't have a hidden agenda, and we promote that. Our belief is that unions should be at the table from the very beginning. We also believe that teachers should have a say-so in whether TAP comes to a school or not. So we encourage and strongly suggest that every place that's considering our program, that the teachers have the opportunity to be informed on it and then to make an informed vote as to whether they want to implement this or not. As part of that, informing them also it means having the union at the table. And what they hear is the support structures. I don't think unions are afraid of evaluation. They're afraid of poor evaluation implemented poorly. But you put in an evaluation system and a support structure to help teachers grow and to help teachers improve. And what we've found is that the unions are very interested in sitting at the table and talking about those types of structures.
Okay, we're going to go to break, and we'll come back with Todd after our break, and we'll talk more about education issues.
Helping you make informed decisions for your life. This is Voice America Health and Wellness.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it. So call us right now. 888-459-4825. 888-459-4825. 459-4825. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable health insurance, call us now and see how we can help you. 888-459-4825. 888-459-4825. 888-459-4825. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
How can we be powerful advocates for the children in our lives? How do we ensure that they're getting the best education possible? The Special Needs Advocacy Training Institute prepares parents and educators to be outstanding advocates for school success. The Training Institute is based on Rich Weinfeld and Michelle Davis's Special Needs Advocacy Resource Book. The book is comprehensive, practical, and easy to read. Visit specialneedsadvocacyinstitute.com to learn more about this dynamic training opportunity. Parents, are you concerned with your child's progress at school? Educators, do you wish that you could do more for your class? Are you interested in pursuing a career in educational advocacy? At specialneedsadvocacyinstitute.com, you'll learn how to make a difference in the lives of children. You will also find information about Rich and Michelle's consulting and advocacy services. Our children need powerful advocates to ensure that they're getting an appropriate education. Visit SpecialNeedsAdvocacyInstitute.com to learn what you can do to more effectively advocate for the children in your life.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Teach your children well.
You're listening to Teach Your Children Well, Hot Topics in Education with hosts Rich Weinfeld and Michelle Davis. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or tip regarding today's topic, give us a call toll-free at 866-472-5792. That number again is 866-472-5792. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Teach Your Children Well, Hot Topics in Education. And before we get back to our guest, Todd White, we do have another caller.
What's that?
Very young caller.
Oh, hello. Hi. I'm enjoying your show. My name is Karen. I was calling. I think that this teacher achievement program sounds great, and I hope that it does catch on. I think that having a merit-based system is helpful. I know that folks are resistant to change. The federal government's going through a similar change right now. But my question is, what for those schools that don't have that in place, and given the current situation in education systems today where there's diminishing resources and increasing demands on the teachers, what incentives are in place now to help those teachers keep their motivation for excelling in the classroom?
Why don't we ask Todd to comment on that?
Well, thanks for throwing that one to me.
It's an easy one, right?
I think that what we see, and if you really look at the numbers of teachers leaving the classrooms and leaving the profession, it is indicative of the problem that we have, and that in so many places, those systems and supports are not in place. There are pockets of that, and as you go around the country. But what we have to do as an entire system in this country is completely overhaul how we think about teaching. We have, as a profession, and I was in that profession. You know, I was handed the keys my first day of teaching, and I didn't see my principal in my classroom that entire first year. I was sort of thrown to the wolves, and that, unfortunately, that happens to too many people. So there has to be a grassroots kind of effort and a groundswell of support to change this from being such an isolated profession to one where those support systems and structures have to be in place, that they're required to be in place. And so that's what I would say. There are pockets of this happening, and great examples of different types of things where that support system's in place. But if we're going to change the turnover for teachers, we're going to do that by providing supportive environments for them to work where they can grow and have the support for growth.
Great, great answer, Todd. And took me back to the nightmares of my first year of teaching. Michelle, do you have an email?
I do. Thanks again for your call, Karen. We really appreciated your participation. I do have an email, and the emailer describes her favorite teacher, her fifth grade teacher, Mrs. Murillo, at Maple West Elementary School in New York. And the characteristics of this incredible teacher were passion and creativity. The writer says, I still remember her creative writing assignments from fifth grade, and I've been teaching writing to students with special needs for 24 years. She would also mail postcards to all of her students from her travels, and I continue this tradition in my classroom. Teachers must be in continuous training, especially in this age of fast-changing technology. My personal favorite is the combination we use of an LCD overhead computer with great speakers and Kurzweil Reader with my students with developmental disabilities. And I just love this email because we hope to have participation by Ray Kurzweil, the developer of that software program. And it leads me to another question for you, Todd. What trends, and I suppose including the use of technology, do you see for teacher evaluation in the future?
Well, what we have seen over the past 20 or so years is with the research and teaching is that we're learning, and there's a great base of knowledge about teaching and what does make a difference. That is going to come into play more and more in the future. What we've also seen over that same time span is a lot of work with how we assess students. We've learned a lot of things from that. We're definitely not at the goalpost yet. But I think we'll continue to learn, and as our assessments get stronger and stronger, and as we learn more and more about exactly what is making a difference in the classroom, we'll see those things come into play. I think we're going to see the concepts of team and multiple measures of teacher effectiveness from multiple perspectives coming into play more and more, and realizing that it's not a snapshot of any one given moment that defines the quality of a teacher who's with students for 180 to 200 days over the course of the year. So I think we'll see a movement towards that, and evaluation followed up with strong support for effective growth.
And I'm assuming you include financial support in that.
I would include financial support. Again, you know, one of my fundamental beliefs too is that the teachers that your email listeners are sending in, the ones that you've talked about, most of us would believe that they were never paid nearly what they were worth mm-hmm. in terms of the impact that they have had on students' lives and the long-term impact. And so I think we have to find ways of publicly recognizing teachers and then financially recognizing them also.
Well, Todd, we have so appreciated your expertise today. The USA Today Gallup poll, as cited by Time Magazine, shows that voters consider education to be the third most important issue, only behind the economy and Iraq. And you have really helped us to clarify what makes an outstanding teacher. Rich, I think you had some additional input about what made outstanding teachers for callers or emailers.
I just want to add my thanks to Todd for being on the show, and I'd like to have you back to give us updates on the program and how it spreads and how effective it can be. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. We appreciate the invitation.
Sure. I want to read a few more emails from students. This student is Brittany from the Siena School. She says, "The best teachers I ever had were Mrs. Durefsky and Mrs. Roque. They are the most generous and caring teachers I have ever had through my life. They make sure I'm doing the best I can in all the subjects and I need to succeed in order to graduate and to go to college. They make me feel brave and strong and a better person." Another email from Asia. She says, "Mrs. King, we had the most fun in her class. We played a lot of games, but they were math problems and spelling words. She made learning and coming to school fun. She was strict, but she also made it fun. She tried to make us smile when we were sad or mad. She kept us out of trouble, and she made sure that we didn't fail her class." That reminds me of a quote from Carol Ann Tomlinson, who'll be a guest in a few weeks, in which she says, "If you haven't learned it, I haven't taught it." And I think that's a great mantra for teachers. Michelle?
Rich and I are going to share our passion for education in developing our Advocacy Training Institute, where we're going to strive to train educators and parents. And you've heard about that in our commercial spot. Our first advocacy training, Special Needs Advocacy Training Institute, will be happening in the first week of October. And we'll be informing you about our Special Needs Advocacy Institute happenings, including our advocacy training program, as the shows go on.
We invite you to visit our website, specialneedsadvocacyinstitute.com, to learn about the Institute, and also we'll have previews of upcoming shows and other information related to the show.
And in the last 30 seconds, Rich, let's go ahead and give our listeners the preview of next week.
Okay, next week we'll have Jonathan Mooney with us. If you've ever seen him, I know you won't miss it. If you've never seen or heard him, this will be a wonderful opportunity. He is the voice of children with special needs, which is the title of our next show, author of Learning Outside the Lines and The Short Bus, A Journey Beyond Normal. He'll talk about his journey from sixth grade dropout to Ivy League honor student. He will also discuss the paradigm shift of not seeing our special needs students as deficient, but appreciating cognitive diversity and the need for students to become powerful self-advocates.
Thanks for listening to our show today.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's edition of Teach Your Children Well, Hot Topics in Education. Join your hosts Rich Weinfeld and Michelle Davis again next Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Teach your children well. Their father's health did slowly go by, and feed them on your dream, the one they picked, the one you know by.